look less scrubby.
Yeah, I did my presentation too, but I didn't really subscribe to that.
Send you for a beard.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I'm gonna be scrappy.
I figured now's my only chance before I start.
Your presentation was so good. I really thought that was so interesting. I want to read that. What as well?
I felt like I was like going on tangents too much.
We did two different things. I did a presentation on multiracial identity development and sort of what are the key issues that might come up and also some clinical implications. And then we looked at some stuff about, I didn't talk about Cheyenne, but we looked at some stuff from Barack Obama's memoir, and
Dreams of
My Father. Yeah, there were some great quotes about sort of his developing identity and how he racially defines himself. Lots of cool stuff. It was fun. It was interactive. Lots of people enjoyed it too.
We get to quote about Obama smoking reefer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm
which I never even realized.
Yeah. About you guys doing the presentation together at Lear.
It was separate presentations, but we just had the same day.
But you're taking a class?
Yeah, I'm in the class.
That's in two of my classes. He's following our class around.
Which course was it?
When you join the program, you should just join our class because you're already kind of embedded.
Yeah, I'll just skip ahead a couple of years.
Yeah.
Nice. Social and community sites.
Okay.
Who
teaches that?
Already.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Noley.
Okay.
And then he takes our biology class with Rossi too, which is excellent. I'm learning so much.
No, I
love
never
got the brain until she started talking about it. I never got any.
She's good.
I was thinking about auditing.
It's a really good class. Auditing it now or auditing it?
No, auditing next year is
not really taking. Oh, is that all?
Well, you have to take Rossi's class.
No, I know, but I haven't talked to her about it, but I have like master's credit.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking about, because I have like three classes. The thing is, like with Emily, like I cannot physically get the book. I can bring her the book. We can talk about it. I don't have a syllabus. I won't.
Can you go back to the professor and ask?
Oh, the professor is long gone. It's like I'm not going to be physically able to get the piece of paper together.
Or maybe a former classmate might have kept it? Or?
No, the syllabus doesn't exist. It never did.
Oh.
So, it's like... it's
well,
like,
probably you're not going to be able to waive
exactly.
that.
So, I mean, I will have talked to her. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if she's going to be okay with
it. Really,
I would audit absolutely. I would never be there. I don't know what's going to happen.
Now, Christmas has come early for you guys.
Yay!
Isn't that exciting?
Very small, but
Christmas is saved.
Thank you. That's nice.
Give it to Laura.
What do you buy for the Liddy?
That was for your Lydia project.
Yeah. Things were colliding, Dave.
Yes, I just got them today from Celeste, and I have one check for Sarah. I'm going to see her tomorrow. So.
Just
we have
time.
Celeste to thank for that. Just in time for the holidays.
Yeah. This is time for me to spend it on someone else.
All right.
For my plan is that these are going to cover three presents. It's going to be three presents according to what I decided to spend this year. So.
My mom said something about
three.
Not doing any presents, going to a soup kitchen instead. And we all shot down that idea. We said we can do a soup kitchen, but we still expect presents.
I set my standards at $8 for
presents.
Yeah.
I think that's
a
for each,
because
you know,
we're
a big family.
Yeah, in general, like, when am I going to go shopping for it? So I'd rather shop for something that's $8, so if it's not light, also, it's $8.
I'm flying to Florida at 7 a.m. on Christmas morning.
Oh,
wow. I'm doing half and half. Half it, we're doing Christmas Eve at my parents' house, because they always have Christmas Eve party and not Christmas Day. And then we're flying on Christmas Day to Florida. So, I mean, it's supposed to be like the best day to travel because like no one's traveling.
And you're going to be there for lunchtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really not that bad.
I did that one.
You might bump into him. Like,
maybe he's on your plane. The trigger from a top of Santa.
When Brad was in Seattle and I was in Italy, I would like fly out the 26th in the morning, very early, like 6 in the morning, and then I would get there there was still like early in the morning, so like we would almost have like two Christmases because like it's 9 hours behind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool. Having a very long Christmas.
Maybe like five Christmases, because everyone has a different set of parents. We're like such a blended family that everybody has like 17 step parents that they need to get to, and then spouses, families, and so we just do Christmas over and over for like 2 weeks.
All right, so Leia and Sylvia, 0.76. Laura and Dustin, 0.73. Both very good. But because Sylvia and Leia are the winners, maybe we should focus on Laura and Dustin's. What do you think?
That's fine. We have the last session, so it's probably an interesting. It's probably interesting for you guys to hear.
How'd you know that?
Because they talked about it the whole time. Oh. You know, the whole session was about termination and
yeah.
And as it should be. So
that was the last session.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to witness the final session of all of them, whereas Leia and Sylvie will not have that opportunity. So maybe you could give them a thumbnail sketch.
Sometimes I am when I hear, and I'm really sad when I'm in these sessions. I'm like, I'm going to go watch it. Do you ever though? I have. Oh really? Yeah, because I got to see the cake session. I was like, okay, I have to watch. Because you got to see the cake session to know, to get the background on all the cake talk. Yeah. Cake talk. Yeah. And in the last session they talked about cake. She actually did bring cake. There was actual cake in the last session. Was there really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brought cake, and they talked about the difference between bringing cake and when she didn't bring cake on her birthday.
But she brought cake without being asked?
Yeah, I think so. But I think maybe she had told Cheyenne in advance. I got the sense that she had known the week before that she had said, I'm going to bring something, a treat for us. And then Cheyenne had said she'd bring something too. She said she was going to bake something too, but then she like forgot or... And then she changed her story and said, actually, I remember my grandmother said I wasn't allowed to bake anything.
Yeah.
So. But it was interesting. Even with the cupcakes, though, she found a way to devalue them. She didn't like the icing, so she smeared off all the icing and then, like, smashed it with, like, a piece of paper and, like, balled it up. So, like, she's like, I don't like the icing, but I do like the Sprite. So she sort of devalued the cakes, but then, like, kept, like, and then when Lene tried to interpret it, she kept saying, but I do like the Sprite. It's good that you brought Sprite. And just sort of focused on this sort of, you know, technicality, you know, and it was interesting. It was interesting that she...
That's what happens when you focus on concrete things. You don't really then address the underlying affects that are going on. I told Lene, I said, you know, we worked together now for a year on this case. I know how you felt about the birthday cake thing. You know, you're graduating from supervision with me. And I want you to have the experience of making that decision for yourself. And so whatever you do, I'm okay with that. I would recommend that you not bring in a cake, but I'm going to leave this up to you. And she decided to bring in a cupcake, and you see what happened.
She was like, she said something like, well, you see how you would still be sad if I even, you know, you're still kind of sad that it's going to be over, therapy is going to be over, and like, even if I had brought a birthday cake, you would still felt the same way or something. It's not going to really make you feel better.
It was something like, because she had brought in the cakes, and then Cheyenne brought up the fact that there was no cake on her birthday.
Right.
And Lene said, so you're still sad about that? And Cheyenne said, yeah, you should have brought in cake on my birthday. And so Lene did make an interesting observation, and I could see Lene also, it occurring to Lene, like, as she said it, for both Cheyenne and for her, to say, like, so bringing in the cake today, it didn't really make it any better. The fact that I didn't bring cake on your birthday, it didn't really fix things, did it? And Cheyenne said, no. And I could see Lene sort of, you know, realizing too that it didn't repair
right.
the rupture anyway, so that maybe it was sort of, you know, a sort
right.
of futile kind of peace offering. But I mean, they ended on a pretty good note. Like, the, you know, Cheyenne, I thought she had pretty consistently positive sentiments, but some of it I thought was kind of lip service about
yeah.
like how much she liked Lene and how much she learned this year. But
and how and her and his Kia are still in contact.
Yeah, and she drew a picture for Lene. Like, it was like a nice session, you know, she said all good things, but I felt like...
Yeah, well, she said she's, like, still friends with Miss Kia, right?
Which isn't really true. I mean, in fantasy, she didn't have any contact with Kia that year. So, in her fantasy, she still had contact with Kia.
Kia was a big love. Like.
Well, she's black. And Cheyenne identifies with the black part of her.
And I don't know, Kia is very sweet, like, as a person. I mean, not that Lene is not, but I didn't try to say that. It's like, Lene is more, I don't know. Kia is like, the way she talks, the way she moves, just like her, the person she is. And I think that it's, I mean, that also must have been a part of it. Like, I picture Cheyenne's family as not being very sweet at all. Like the, I don't know, like also was a, what is it? Sarah presented Cheyenne in Susan Phillips' class as her case. So I learned other things about her. And less her family seems to be sweet to me, so maybe Kia is like this big. And then Lene being more direct.
When they was pretty
much trouble, more towards the end, in my opinion. Like, the last sessions are more, maybe she was more relaxed, she was kind of more comfortable in her role.
That's so funny, because in this last session, I saw Lene as very kind of, like, reserved, and, like, I thought maybe it was because it was the last session, and she, you know, maybe had regrets about not bringing in the birthday cake, or maybe she was, you know, feeling like she wanted it to be. I felt that feeling, like, this sort of disillusionment that there's no perfect termination session, and you know, part of you wants the child to give you a hug and love you so much, and, you know, Stefan didn't do that. I mean, our last session, you know, he said, you know, goodbye, and, you know, we tried to sort of make it a, you know, make termination an issue, but it didn't seem to, you know, really impact him so much, and that was kind of like a narcissistic injury in a way, and so I could see Lene sort of maybe defending against that in a way, because she was just very reserved in the last session, didn't really smile very much. It was kind of like a kind of very austere kind of session on both of their parts. I think both of them were kind of defending against the loss.
Well, I think, like, if she decided to write her dissertation on this case and on the counter transfer, like, this case would have meant a lot to her.
Yeah. Right. Because I think it did.
So, I mean, that the last session was a big thing for her, too.
And she brings up how Cheyenne's grandma was yelling at her when she first got there.
Because Cheyenne wouldn't come in the room or something. Like, Cheyenne was kind of avoiding even starting the session, which was strange for her. The last session, she sort of was a little bit late. She was, like, going to the bathroom, but she was, like, dawdling in the bathroom, so the grandmother was yelling at things. And then, of course, she prolonged the end of it and wouldn't leave the room. So, you know, but that was kind of typical.
And I in our session, the grandparents had gone on a cruise. And it was very close, like, the clothing was summer, so it must have been, like, the end of the year as well. And it was probably, yeah, it definitely was.
I mean, the session you guys just...
The one we just...
It was session 23.
So it was towards the end.
Well,
ours was,
it was 3 months before the end.
3 months?
Yeah.
It was before the cake, I think, because
it was, like, Mother's Day. Oh, the cake was after Mother's
Day? Yeah, well, session was before the cake. The
session was session 12.
No, I was just going to say that, like, 11 sessions earlier than the end.
Yeah, it would be, like, at the end of April.
But it's just, like, I don't know, like, it felt so bad for this kid.
It is before her birthday. Our session.
I don't remember when her birthday is.
I understand it's not a big deal in real life, but she was so upset. Like, you could see how, like, she's, like, trying to say, I don't need anybody, but everybody's leaving this kid behind, like.
Right.
It was like, I was like, did you really have to go on this cruise? Like, can't you wait a second till these kids, like, go off a little bit? I mean, I know, I understand.
Well, they need a break from, these kids aren't easy either.
You're right. And then I was trying to be empathic towards the grandparents.
Yeah, they need a break.
How many kids are there?
She was just like, two? You know, whatever.
I think she
did. Yeah, there are two.
In my opinion, she was, she was talking about being safe and she never said it to herself.
Yeah. It was like Mother's Day coming up and she was really upset because the whole time she was making a picture for Lene, but by the end she realized she didn't make anything for her mom for Mother's Day, and I wonder if you're making an interpretation, and I wonder if you're making this because you sort of see me as your mother.
I mean, for me it's been very helpful to watch these sessions because, like, I see it unfolding, and I don't know. It's great. Clinically, it's like a lot of help. Like, it's helping me be more brave with my child that I tend not to be brave with. Not my physical child, but my
it definitely helps me with the kids at externship, because I just, it's really nice to like watch these videos and not have to be in the room and think of what I'm going to say next, and to watch it and be able to Monday morning quarterback a little bit. So then when I actually am in the room, like, I take that like Monday morning quarterbacking, and then I can like do it more on the spot, more easily. I can make it and feel more confident about an interpretation once I like sort of am making it from once removed as I watch the video.
Lee and I were just talking about that today in supervision.
And it's like across the board.
Steph and I are so tentative to ever make an interpretation. I was like, really? Is that really what it is? Am I sure? You know, but now I can be more confident.
Like my child is CBT, but even in the CBT world, like I mean, I don't know, I did things, like, you know, I exposed the child to whatever her fear is in the previous session. I mean, I realized that this is helping me to, like, kind of, like, be a little more brave, because I was always like, I mean, like, the child's afraid of it, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
The whole point is that the child's afraid of it. So, like, we need to do it.
You're doing exposure therapy? That's so cool.
I mean, in a way, like, she's afraid of characters, so we do, like, masks, we wear masks, we take pictures with them, and I wear, she wears it.
She's afraid of masks?
Like, characters.
Uh-huh.
Which is actually on the DSM. Is a specific phobia. There's one that says of costume characters.
You know, little infants are a lot of times, but you know, I guess she's held on to that. Interesting.
It's like in the case, in my case,
babies go through like a hats and sunglasses kind of phase.
Clowns.
Well, they
can't
see it. She says that her point is that she cannot see the face. So Mickey Mouse is fine, because she can see his face, but I don't know, whatever other thing. What? No. But it's like,
well, like someone like Batman who wears a mask.
Yeah.
Someone who covers their face.
Even Santa Claus, because of the big beard. Mm-hmm. But like even though it's a CBT case, I tend to conceptualize in a psychodynamic way. I can't help it. My supervisor finds it really funny. And it's a community.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. And she keeps saying, like, I keep saying, like, I think she needs this fear. I don't think she really is officially afraid. She's just like using it for other purposes. And that's where they really want to go, but that's not my job.
Get rid of it, and then when a symptom is substituted for it, then you can work on that.
There
one.
You go.
You know, wait for the next symptom substitution, and you'll have this client forever. It'll be
exactly.
Great. You'll have her all year.
It's her second year.
All right. So we've got 5, 6, 7 discrepancies of 4 or more. So let's go over those. Considering this is the last session for Cheyenne.
As I was coding it, I started feeling like this was the last session I had to code, and I had to keep reminding myself that it's the last session, but that we're still coding, and that there'll be more.
But we're doing pretty well.
I started feeling really celebratory.
Do you have the latest tally?
I'm not sure exactly how many are left. Probably maybe 6.
Really?
Is it
6 or 8?
That's it?
Six per pair or 6 total?
6 total. Or 6 or 8 total. I thought we had done.
We were going to finish in January.
Maybe a little bit more than that. But I know we had done everything up through 20, mid 20s. So, like.
I have Linnae. This one for me was Linnae 10. So we probably did
20,
right?
Oh yeah, you've done exactly.
Because I number them in A1, 2, 3.
So there's 14.
Yep, you guys have done exactly 20, so you've got 14 to go.
So it's 7.
So that's 7 more weeks.
Mm-hmm. How many?
So by
actually,
the end of January.
And two of them are not doable.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the sessions. Two tapes don't work.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. One of the tapes, Linnae told me, like, session 14 or something. I forget. I'm not sure, definitely. But she told me before I copied them that one of them wasn't going to work. And then I found another tape wouldn't work. So she said she's going to have to look at it and try to fix it. It just wouldn't play anything.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tape... Wouldn't session 14 wouldn't play because there's something structurally wrong with the tape, or there's something wrong with the recording of it.
She told me before that I'm going to just be skipping that number, that one's not there or something. Or maybe that one was being repaired or something by a guy. I think she said she was trying to get it fixed, the tape. And then when I was doing them, I found out that one of the other tapes couldn't find anything on it.
Was it blank?
I was playing it and nothing was coming up. So either the tape was broken or it was blank, I'm not sure. But she's gonna look at it and see if she
can. Well, you would be able to tell whether it was broken, right? If the tape was.
It didn't seem to be broken.
Right.
But nothing.
Did you communicate that to Lene?
Yeah.
What'd she say about it? Was
she
aware of it?
Just drop it off for her.
Okay. Is it in that bag or?
Yeah.
And she knows which one in that bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, any data that's lost or missing is a bad thing because it reduces your statistical power.
Mm-hmm.
And if we wanted to actually conduct a factor analysis, it really reduces our ability to make any kind of interpretation of the findings of that. With the loss of two whole sessions worth of data, it's just a bad thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully she can get those repaired, so we can do that. But so that reduces our number to 12 current active sessions.
Yeah.
So that would be 6 weeks.
2 before the break.
And then all of January.
Yeah. Let's see. Mm-hmm. So we meet the 10th and the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So we knock off 4 more. Right. That would be 8 to go. And then in January, 7, 14, 21, 28, we should be done by January 28th.
And we meet the first time January 7th.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So we'll be done for the second semester.
If we want to go back to the Lydia tapes and see, now you guys are seasoned pros, whether those tapes would be any easier. If we're running into the same problems, we'll just can that idea. But I did promise Celeste that we would go back and see whether we have any more success. You remember, the one Lydia tape, it was awful, just awful. But, you know, you guys were not as seasoned as you are now, so.
Now we're ready to code live sessions.
Is there a one-way mirror over there?
Yeah, it's never used, but there is one.
How big is it?
Big.
Right? As big as that.
Yeah.
And how
it's
big
hard
is
to,
the...
We don't have a microphone or anything. It's hard to hear if you're standing behind the one-way mirror. You can't really hear what's going on in there.
How big is the room, the observation room?
You could fit 2 people in it.
You can fit a video camera in there.
Oh, yeah. But you,
so you could do strange situations in there.
Yeah, but you wouldn't really pick up sound. Do you need sound for the
screen
situation? Really.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have. I mean, there are ways, I guess you could mic it so that, I mean, if somebody drilled a hole so that you could just bring a wire through there, or even a wireless mic where you have the receiver in the observation room, have the mom wear, and the stranger wear lapel mics. I think they're called lavalier mics. I mean, it's doable. That was always the problem over at, when we were at CW Post.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anything like that, so I wasn't able to even consider doing infant research, but over here we have a one-way mirror and a observation room. It would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
You just need the babies.
Recruit the babies. Well, that's, we're going to meet tomorrow and talk about recruiting. I have no idea, so we're going to
Who's we?
You and me. We have a meeting tomorrow.
I know.
Tomorrow.
Oh, that's
Who's
what we're
we?
Going to talk about? Recruiting babies?
I don't know how to recruit children from anywhere.
Students like Lene can maybe volunteer.
Right, they're babies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
maybe
Lene
will bring her babies in. Who else has babies?
What's her name in our class?
Alana?
No.
Not yet.
She was
having babies. There's a lot of people that are engaged.
No,
there's
some
tests.
Who has a baby in your class?
No. in our Jill's class.
For telling the future.
There's a girl that whose name I can't remember.
I know her name. Shira.
Shira has like a 12 and a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
they're 12-year-old.
She has three children, I think.
Yeah, she's like three children. The oldest one's 12. They're not young enough.
Oh wow!
Not young enough.
Started up.
So we're not done with the study yet. You're gonna have to leave your babies here. Just pick them up in a couple of weeks.
All right. So we've got number four. There is discussion of why a child is in therapy, and we had here Dustin put it in pile four, while Laura put it in pile eight. So because Laura is the extreme answer, we'll start with her.
I thought there was talk, I mean, the whole session, what they were talking about, what had happened in therapy across the year. And there was one, and so that was sort of pervasive across the whole session about what they had accomplished together, what she liked about therapy, what she didn't. And then specifically there was one point where she talked about like how she's changed in therapy and how therapy has helped her. And she talked about how when she first came to therapy with Kia, it was because of two reasons. She said something about, like, she said, I feel better now. My head is clean of the bad stuff. And when I asked what was the bad stuff, and she said, before I saw Kia, I thought my dad would hurt me. And I cursed when I was angry. And so they talked about how that had changed. That was the first time I'd ever heard any mention of why she had come to therapy. So I thought it was really weird.
That seems compelling to me.
Sorry, Dustin. I'm armed with proof.
I'm very compelled by that. What do you have to say, Dustin, in your rebuttal?
I felt like they did talk about therapy, but it says, like, about why the child's in therapy, there was really only maybe one sentence, right?
That was the one time that was very clear, yeah, mm-hmm. When she said, like, these are the two symptoms that brought me to therapy, not in his words, but she...
Yeah. I don't know, I guess... I just didn't think that... I didn't think that what they were talking about was... would be considered why she was in therapy. You know, they talked about therapy, but I mean, I put it in four because, you know, I guess there was a little bit, but I just didn't think it was that characteristic, really. I guess I could maybe go up to six or.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also seeing here that it says, or discusses therapeutic goals, and we did also talk about that.
Yeah.
What did we accomplish this year? What do you think you'll work on, you know, even after we're finished here? What will you continue to work on? It was a little bit CBT, sort of a little bit of, you know, future planning and relapse prevention, so I thought that was sort of like...
That's true, yeah.
Also that goal part. I mean, I could come down to seven. It might not be, like, the most characteristic, but I thought it was pretty across the whole session, it was... You know,
built in
pretty purposefully by Lynette to discuss it.
I didn't think about that discussing therapeutic goals part. I just thought that when I thought of the session, I didn't think, you know, discussion of why she was there was very prevalent. But they did discuss sort of some goals. You know, what they had been working on.
How's sevens on?
I would do seven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody agree? All right.
That's the one.
All right, so nine, six and two. Nine is therapist is non-responsive versus affectively engaged. Laura said six, Dustin said two. So Dustin, you got the extreme score. So you thought she was affectively engaged. She was responsive, affectively involved during interactions.
I I think I was just, like, I could tell, I could almost just feel how she was feeling sentimental about this session the whole time. She wasn't that, I guess it's a little extreme for the session, but I could definitely just tell, I could like feel, I don't know, was that transference, counter-transference that she, I just felt like her bringing the cake and just almost bringing up again, like, do you remember why I couldn't bring the cake, and kind of talking about how she just wasn't allowed to bring it, and I felt like she was doing a lot of, like, trying to smooth things over to leave on a good note, almost.
I agree with that. I guess I wasn't thinking so much of that for this item. I was thinking, I thought it was kind of notable, like, I could see that Lene was kind of reserved, and I sort of...
Well, now, you can't base it on other experiences of Lene in other sessions.
That's true.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if I was comparing it to other sessions so much as I was comparing it to, like, I guess partly was knowing it was a termination session. I saw her as reserved for termination, and I did have that on my mind as I thought, like, you know, this is their last session, and she's being kind of, you know, very tentative, and, you know, I don't know. I just thought, and then there was another card about, like, humor, and I just saw their interaction as very somber and very, like, austere, and I sort of saw Lene as sort of embodying that. I mean, but I see your point, too, that, like, she definitely, you could see that her affects were kind of close to the surface sometimes, but I thought she was, like, dampening them down on purpose. But but with bringing the cake and the, you know, but there was a point, like, I don't know, the one point where I thought she really kind of cheered up was when Cheyenne sung the song from The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lene was, like, visibly pleased, and she was like, that was so great! And, like, you know, like, do you like The Little Mermaid? And then they talked about the fantasy of what would that mean if you were Ariel, and the song was about, you know, being in a different world,
mm-hmm.
and they discussed that, and I thought Lene seemed to sort of, like, get more into it then. But the rest of the session, sort of when they were eating their cupcakes, they were just sort of eating their cupcakes together, both kind of, I don't know, very, like, frigid to each other.
Well, I felt that they were kind of somber, like you said, but
mm-hmm.
but I thought that was an example of them being effectively engaged, because
mm-hmm.
I felt like she was feeling, like, emotional about the last day. Almost.
You thought she was holding back from crying or something?
No, but I just had the sense that Lene was feeling, like, she kept asking Cheyenne about her feeling sad about therapy being over, and I just felt like I just got the feeling that she was feeling emotional, not that she was holding back crying, but just the things she was saying made me feel like maybe some of that was just maybe something that she was feeling as well about it being their last session. I knew all those lyrics from the Little Mermaid.
I know, I was singing along in my head. I like, and when she'd get the lyrics wrong and when she'd get a word wrong, I was like, that's not the word.
I was like, why do I know these words?
Why do you know all the words of Little Mermaid?
Because I have a little sister, and I, like, when we were in the third grade, I think, or first grade, that movie came out.
I have such counter transference to that.
Mm-hmm.
I have videotape of myself at Cheyenne's age singing that song for my whole family, like, as a performance. It's so
weird
to watch her singing it. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was a big movie.
It was just her age,
here.
Too. That's the age for it.
My husband's great uncle was the voice for the orange guy.
Sebastian?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
His face is
Jamaican
great uncle?
Yeah. That's so funny.
He's his grandpa.
He's a Jamaican actor. I think I've seen
brother.
Him because when they had, like, a Disney special, I think I've seen, like, he's a Disney special.
He's not Jamaican.
I don't know.
The guy who did Sebastian?
That is another character, because he's not Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
very white.
Maybe it was a different, maybe they got a different actor to play Sebastian in the Disney special then, to try
who
to be
playing?
More sync with the...
Who's singing?
Yeah, he did the voice.
I don't know, that's the information I got, if it's wrong, I mean...
Maybe, well, could it be that your, his great uncle did a Jamaican accent?
It could be. Maybe he might have put on the accent.
He would have been an old guy. He's old. I mean, I think he's younger than the grandparents, but the grandparent now is 88.
You sure he
the guy
wasn't
was
King
in his 70s.
Oh, you sure he wasn't King Triton, the father?
Maybe.
I don't know, I mean, that's the information I got. I might have to double check. I'll email Grandpa tonight and say.
There you go.
You gave me wrong information.
The orange guy. You need to watch The Little Mermaid. The orange guy. Come on, this is like pop culture, like, need to know.
I've seen it a few times. I remember him being orange.
I've never seen the movie either, Sylvia.
Have you ever seen the movie?
How do you work with children? Don't they talk about it?
They've never brought The Little Mermaid in.
It's a different generation.
Actually, but I treat mostly boys. Very few girls come to me, so. I don't know that boys, other than Dustin, would have watched that movie.
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
Dustin, from a very early age, was very comfortable with his masculinity, so he could watch The Little Mermaid.
You know, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme song, and like the boys.
Well, that's more common.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was what I was into, too. It's very gender variant. I was very into girly stuff.
Real gender bender.
That rat is very funny.
Oh, yeah. Splinter?
Splinter.
Yeah, he's so scary.
Raphael.
He's creepy.
Yeah.
He's all the characters.
I think I wanted
I had
to be
no
able.
Barbies.
Okay, moving right along.
Right. I know.
So what are we going to do with this item?
I don't know.
It sounds like there are times
sick.
That she was affectively involved and other times she wasn't.
Yeah, so maybe a 5 would be appropriate.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because I really think there is maybe.
So if Laura moves down 1... And Dustin moves up 3.
That's not very democratic.
What do you think, Dustin?
I guess so.
I guess so. Well, if you're going to make me.
I think I would lean more towards maybe if I was coding it again after this having this conversation, I would probably put it in like a 4.
A 4. Well, that would work.
I won't come down to the uncharacteristic end.
You won't stoop to that level.
Notable that it was characteristic, but I think a 4 at 4.
All right, 4 would work.
Okay, maybe.
Item 10. Child seeks greater intimacy with the therapist. Mm-hmm. Lauren 7, Dustin 3. Whoever wants to address that. Is a child appearing to wish for a more intimate relationship? Does she express concern about Lene? Does she express a wish to see Lene maybe after the work is over? That's what I'm guessing.
She talked about like hoping that she left a message on Lene's voicemail. She calls it up on the phone in the office and leaves a message on Lene's voicemail. And Lene says, should we listen to the message together? Because she, like, whispers it in. And she says, yes. And they listen to the message together. And it's like, hi, Lene. You know, I know it's our last session. I wanted to say goodbye. I hope you keep my number because you can always call my house or something like that. And then she said something about, like, I don't know if she didn't specifically say, I wish I'll see you again. But she left that message. And then Lene interpreted it as maybe you wish that we'll see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's hard to say goodbye.
Very compelling, Dustin.
So, but it wasn't the whole session. She wasn't like, I love you, I want you to be my mommy. Like, it wasn't, I mean, I could come
But that's
like
enough. That's enough, what you said, you know. But now, did she also say, I don't want anything to do with you?
No, but she did kind of remain distant and, like just any time Lene brought up anything about it being over, the therapy, she would just become silent and kind of ignore questions.
Yeah, she was defending really hard. She was changing the subject. Every time she said, you know, like, you seem a little bit sad today. It's our last day. She'd be like, I like Sprite. Sprite's my favorite drink. You know, like, she was defending really, really hard. But I don't know.
I forgot about that.
I would tie that into a wish message. For intimacy.
That's a pretty powerful message.
Yeah. It's true.
How about a 6?
But could a pushing her away be the defense? Yeah, and then it would
I wonder if that's the defense in the service of the wish. It's sort of like the reaction formation to the wish. So what do you do with that, though? So
well,
the child's remaining distant, but you think that that's a defense against the wish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you put it five?
Well, that's why I said six. I mean, I think that phone message makes pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's only six because of all the defenses against greater intimacy that she exhibits in the session. So, I mean, if she didn't exhibit that, that would be like an eight. You know, but because of the defensive maneuvers that she makes, which probably Dustin was picking up on, you have to bump it down, I think, to a six. I don't think a seven would be appropriate. But a three, I mean, that phone message, that carries a lot of weight, at least to me, hearing that.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
Moment. Meeting her the message.
Yeah.
And they didn't make a big deal about whether it was going to be erased or not. I guess, I think they just listened to the message.
Maybe it's still there.
But I wonder, if Cheyenne's going to see if that it would stay there. Oh, and then she asked right after that, she said, do you keep this office next year? And Lene said no. Mm-hmm. And so that question came right after. So I bet Cheyenne was trying to figure out, is this message going to stay here?
Right.
Is it going to be erased? And I mean, the answer is, it's going to be erased. It's not my office anymore. So.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Something is nemesis would be for a child, but like the teachers, if Mrs. Smith is not going to be my teacher next year, but she'll be in the school, so I'll have Mrs.
Right.
something else, but...
Yeah.
She'll be here. It's not like a forever goodbye with
there's
a therapist.
No
like
there's no way for her to contact her again. Her office number changes and then,
I know, I've had a lot of clients ask that. Like, how do I call you if I, need to talk to you, because all your clients, they find out that you're going away, physically.
Right.
So I've always said, call Kathy's number, the secretary at the clinic, and they get in touch with me if you need me to write you. They say, if I need a letter or, something,
And even for an adult, my girlfriend was going to Delphi for her master's in social work, and she started seeing a social worker there at the counseling center, and she was seeing her for a year, and really liked her a lot, and was making some good progress, and then all of a sudden she got there one day, and they were like, she's not here anymore, and they fired her, and they didn't tell her, they didn't make her terminate with any patients, or any clients, and just... My girlfriend was devastated, but then she was able to get her number and now sees her privately and at her own private practice. But it was pretty she thought it was pretty unethical of them to just fire her.
Well, unless she did something so egregious that they didn't want her around their patients anymore. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I inherited a couple last year who had not been terminated. They've just sort of been ditched by somebody who left the program. So it happens. I guess people have personal stuff that goes on and they just need to pick up and go.
Yeah.
It happened this year.
Yeah.
I think they had a fight. She's told her now that she had a fight with a person or something and she had to leave and they wouldn't let her contact her.
Why punish the client?
Item 17, therapist actively exerts control over the interaction. For example, structuring, introducing new topics. Laura said two, Dustin said six.
Yeah, already I kind of am agreeing with Dustin now that I'm thinking back too. I don't know. I see it both ways. I see it both ways now because she really did. She was asking direct questions and continuing to bring up termination even when Cheyenne maneuvered out of it and continued to say what do you remember working on this year? What did you like best? What did you not like about therapy? I mean, very direct questions
right.
the whole time. But then at other times, Cheyenne wanted to draw and she was non-directive. She was as non-directive as she could be given that it was a session with an agenda, such as termination, where you really got a circle around this topic. So, but I guess...
I was just thinking...
Maybe five.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of pretty in the middle, but I lean more towards characteristic and just put it in six, because... I put six.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just because I felt like, you know, she was bringing up, starting a lot of topics. So that's why I'm leaning towards that one.
I too is way too extreme, but I don't know, maybe like, it was still kind of like a non-directive, as non-directive as it could be, with her, you know, asking certain questions, but, you know, if you were pushing and talked out, like, maybe a 4 or 5.
She did change the subject a couple times, though, right?
Yeah, and she sort of allowed Cheyenne to change the subject, but then would return a little bit later and, you know, again, ask the question or try to, you know, get them back sort of on the topic.
Item 29, quality of child's play is fluid, absorbed versus fragmented and sporadic. Lauren 7, Dustin in 2. Dustin? Now actually, from what you guys have been describing, 2 sounds appropriate. She keeps shifting. You know, she's trying to run away, she doesn't want to focus on the topic.
In her words, but in her actions, I mean, the whole session was them sitting and eating the cupcakes together for a long time.
Right, okay.
And then drawing, and Cheyenne was drawing a present for Lynae.
Okay, so you're saying there are only 2 activities.
Right, and Cheyenne was very focused on drawing for like half the session, and very focused on the cupcakes, and that, I mean, she definitely wasn't like hyperactive or moving about, and they were also just kind of, yeah, she was absorbed. I mean, but she was being kind of like evasive in questions.
I thought it was a lot of different things. Like, first they did the cupcakes, then she left the room. First she like wanted to have the easel outside the room or something. Then they came in and did the cake. Then she wanted to go outside for something. Then they came back and she did the phone message. And she was spinning around the chair and stuff. And then she wanted to sing the song, which was like a long song. She was singing
she
for a long time.
She had sustained focus on the song.
Like, this is a long performance. She was really giving
sure
it all she had.
Thing.
And I just felt like there was a lot of different things going on. And then she was drawing at the end. And Lynae could not get her off that project. She was like, you have to leave now, you have to leave. I was like, it's the last session, you know. I could see that Lynae was like, I don't want to end this on a bad note, but, you know, you're really not listening and you have to go. And she was really just, okay, okay. And then she would like put on one shoe and she would, oh, I said, let me just do one more thing.
So you're arguing both ways, though, because you just argued that she was so engaged in the activity that she didn't want to leave.
But that was just one of the things, though. Just at the end, and she wouldn't leave. But I thought there was a lot of different things that she was doing, like first the easel, then the cake, then the phone message, then the song, then the drawing. I felt that was a lot of stuff compared to some sessions where it was just one game or something, or...
I don't know. I still think it's on the characteristic end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could come down one if that helps the 6, but I still think it's characteristic. I still think she was focused and that the... I mean, I saw her as, you know, in the beginning kind of being kind of, you know, avoided, and so first, you know, she wanted... First she drew a sign to put on the door, keep out, so that no one else could come in, and... You know, and then going to get the cups for the party they were gonna have. But I don't know. I just saw her, you know, focused, and I mean, she wasn't like moving about a whole lot. She wasn't hyperactive like she usually is. But I was trying not to get the other session. But
what do you think, Dustin?
I feel like she was pretty sporadic.
And fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what would be the exact middle?
I mean, when it says that no activity develops into something that can be understood or followed,
I thought the activities.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say, that maybe.
They talked about eating cake together for a while, and they talked about the lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could be persuaded to move up a little bit.
How about a 4?
Yeah, I guess I could see a 4.
So if she moves down to 6, then we're within 2. I'm happy with that.
You can be happy with.
All right, I got to go, so thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So Dustin will give you your assignments by what, Sunday?
Yeah, I'll try to do it as soon as I can.
Okay.
I think I already actually